This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu Plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I've Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's to you.
Yes. If you're listening to this when it comes out, you could be listening to it whenever. But as it debuts, it is New Year's Day. We're running some classics because we're hoping to take some time off, some
what?
Vacation. I know. But we'll be back. We've already got a lot of stuff planned that we're excited about. And recently we did something that we were both very excited about, and that was we got to talk to Jen Blair about women in the brewing industry and all of the issues therein. But as part of that, we mentioned an episode that we did a while back about kind of these gendered stereotypes around alcohol choices and specifically men liking beer, women liking wine, or men kind of liking darker, stronger, or what are perceived as stronger drinks, and women liking, you know, lighter things or wine or, quote, girly drinks.
Right. Fruity, girly drinks.
Which I think that exists at all says quite a bit.
Exactly.
Exactly. So on this New Year's Day or whenever you happen to be listening to it, we hope that you are well, whatever the case, and we hope that you enjoyed this classic episode. Hey, this is Annie.
And this is Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I'll Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. In our last episode, we talked about the gendering of food, mostly men and meat, and where that whole...
Men, meat.
Not that specifically.
Men,
but,
meat.
I have heard that in advertising language, so I thought of that later. And today we're talking about the gendering of alcohols. So before we start, drink responsibly. If alcohol is a trigger for you, it would probably be a good idea to not listen to this one. And we're going to very briefly, just mention things like sexual assault and violence, domestic violence. So if that is a trigger for you as well, just letting you know right at the start, that's where we are.
Or the stops.
Today has been a really goofy day. I am not sure what's going on.
And we have not had any alcohol.
We have not.
I don't know about you. You've got this giant cup over here.
It's water.
Oh, okay.
Samantha.
Okay.
Trying to stay hydrated.
Sure.
Yes. Okay. So I think popular way of thinking about it when we're talking about the gendering of alcohol is beer is for men, wine is for women. Or I usually hear, like, darker things, darker alcohols, men. Lighter alcohols, women. You know, it'll put hair on your chest. That's what they say.
I feel like they say that about everything. Spicy foods puts hair on your chest.
Do they say that about spicy food?
I don't know. I feel like I've heard that.
I like how you immediately backtracked.
Now I'm going to say yes.
Okay. So doing something that burns, I guess.
Yes, anything that burns.
Which is thought to, it's believed that darker alcohols have more of a burn. And sometimes they do, but not always. Not always. And we have done past episodes looking at the history of beer and whiskey when it comes to this whole thing specifically, if you want to check those out. And I know that I've talked about on this show the fairly common gross response that I get from men when I order whiskey, that it implies I'm a slutty or I'm ready to have sex with you. I don't know. Like
whiskey?
Ordering whiskey. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've never heard about whiskey.
Oh, yeah. I think the ad, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but the ads for whiskey are very, the ads for all alcohol is very sexualized.
Oh, obviously.
Yes.
I think when it comes to whiskey, I always think of more like grungier type of thing. So for even women, like I'm thinking of people who, for some reason, I have it in my head, a woman who may have just had like been one of the boys, essentially, came in and having a whiskey drink with them, obviously being one of the guys, not so much to be slutty.
Well, it's interesting you say that because that is a very commonly held belief. I found so many articles. I did not realize how much your drink choice apparently says about you according to the internet.
I mean, that's like a BuzzFeed quiz in itself.
Yeah, what does your drink choice say about you? There's an infamous article that I'm going to quote a little bit later that breaks down the difference between women who drink vodka and women who drink whiskey. And one of the things is if she drinks whiskey, she can hang with the guys.
Right.
And it's written in a way that I can tell the author thinks he's being complimentary of both women, but it's, like, clearly not.
Exactly.
In my opinion. And we've all seen the joke in our media of a girly or weak drink. And the fact that girly drink even exists as a term, that says a lot right there. And when dude orders a fruity drink or a girly drink, I always think of Scrubs. When JD orders an apple teeny, please, easy on the teeny.
Right. And I think of the New Girls episode where Winston, because he gets the girly fruity mixes that Nick makes mainly for girls. And he goes, Winston's like, I'm being so naughty. Look at me being naughty.
It's so interesting to me that this exists. I mean, I will say my family. This is reversed. This is, like, completely reversed. The men in my family do not drink barely any, and when they do, they drink, quote, girly drinks, sweeter things.
So that's my friend group, too. Most of my friends are the opposite. The girls like the whiskey and the dark beers, and the guys like things vodka-ish. I love gin, too, but stuff like that along the lines.
Yeah. And I think in my case, like, my mom's side of the family— They're drinkers, and so it's not really, I haven't encountered too much of this until I, like, went out, started going out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were like, what are you doing ordering that whiskey? You can't handle that, little lady.
Anyone ever called you a little lady?
Yes.
That makes me want to punch me. Why do people keep thinking that they can call you random things like that?
Oh, my gosh. I get this all the time. And then I recently was buying a bottle of rosé. And a dude near me called me princess.
What?
Said to his dude friend, look, she's buying it because she's pretty. Like, he was talking about me in third person. He addressed me and then did this in third person. Like, well, clearly he doesn't view me as a human being.
Right.
Okay.
I feel like that is such a weird concept. I will say I don't love rosé myself just because I don't like the taste per se, but it definitely was my beginner drink.
That's really interesting because rosé, to me, I didn't even try it until a couple of years ago when it, like, took off.
Well, now it's big.
Right.
Like, the rosé has kind of gotten its niche. But, yeah, that was my beginner drink.
Wow, really? You know, we just did an episode on rosé over on my other show, Savor.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big reasons, side note, people think it took off is because it is millennial pink and that color took off. And people just like taking pictures with the color.
Oh, is it an Instagram worthy?
It is very Instagrammable.
Interesting. I just remember thinking I didn't like Chardonnay because that's too abrupt and dry for me. Mm-hmm. So that's not something I would ever drink. I don't like Chardonnays. But then to start off, going deep red was too much. So someone just handed me a light pink drink. I was like, oh, look.
It's like in the middle.
Yes. That, and that's my thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you're learning a lot about our drinking preferences.
So if you want to send me something, don't do the rosé.
I'll take it. I'll take it. So let's start with some brief history here. The alcohol industry and women for a long time until our like more recent history have not gotten along. And I mean, you can argue even now don't. The industry funneled a lot of money to politicians who promised to prevent women's suffrage, probably because women had been big proponents of the temperance movement and prohibition. Throughout history, women drinking in public has been frowned upon and judged as lewd or crass, too manly. And this is, again, sort of more recent history because in ancient times it wasn't necessarily that.
Right.
Right. But, like, you know.
It got a flip and became unladylike to do such things.
It did. Who knows what you'll say? A curse word in public?
What? Me? Never.
No, never. And now that women are allowed to drink in public, relatively free from scorn, or at least compared to this, because we're going to get into that more later, you're not necessarily free from scorn. The industry has changed its tune, especially since the rate of women drinking has consistently been going up as compared to men, where it's sort of plateaued. It stayed the same. In the 1990s, 15% of whiskey drinkers were women. Nowadays, that's closer to 37%. Gendered marketing and products around alcohol is all kinds of messed up. There are tampon flasks, the wine rack, which is a bra that you can fill with wine.
Right. I feel like a lot of this is basically, though, because people think that men are afraid of things like tampons. One thing you won't check.
It's true. That's what it said when I was reading. Like, because at first I thought, is this like something you insert?
Right. No.
And so I wanted to read the product description.
Wow.
And it's because people are afraid of checking tampons, which...
Hilarious.
Yes. Hilarious and sad. Uh-huh. The alcohol industry is pretty notorious for gendered marketing. Experts have compared it to how we gender toys. When it comes to alcohol, most of these follow the traditional stereotypes that men are aggressive and tough, and women need to be concerned about their weight and their beauty.
Right.
And this has negative side effects on so many levels. But in terms of weight and drinking, this pressure can lead to unhealthy behaviors like drunkorexia. We've talked about that before. And binge drinking.
Right. And with the drunkorexia and whole gender idea, because that's what you were talking about, the tampon thing. It's true. People did soak alcohol in the tampon and get extreme drunk without all the calories.
Yeah.
That was part of that. So, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. There's a lot of weird concepts.
Dangerous and unhealthy.
Right.
Interestingly, a lot of brands have leaned harder into masculine marketing, even though more women are drinking. And this is because, again, masculine equals better in our society. Women can, quote, drink with the men, but men do not want to be caught drinking what women drink. And this is all generalizations, because I definitely have some male friends in my life that do not care.
Right.
They'll order whatever they want, and I love it.
Get that girly drink. There's no such thing.
There is no such thing. There's drinks that you like.
Right. That tastes differently to different people.
Exactly. From a 1988 study, so a little dated, but I thought interesting, called Gender Expectations for Alcohol Use, a Study of the Significance of the Masculine Role, sex differences in drinking behavior appear related to two variables. One, sex differences in the purpose and meaning of drinking, and two, differences in attitudes regarding the acceptability of drinking and drunkenness among women and men. Regarding the first variable, data on sex differences in where, when, and how drinking occurs suggests that it has a different meaning for the sexes. Women tend to drink wine, tend to drink slowly, drink with family members or at parties, drink on special occasions, drink on Saturdays, and drink to celebrate events and dates. This style of drinking suggests that drinking is a social ritual for women, serving to allow women to celebrate and solidify their bonds with others and to reinforce and maintain their social bonds. Men, on the other hand, tend to drink with same-sex friends or acquaintances, drink in bars in the company of strangers, drink irrespective of special occasions, drink beer, and drink fast. In addition, men to drink for the effect of drinking to get high or drunk, and their drinking is more likely than women's to be associated with antisocial consequences. This style of drinking is also seen as a social ritual, serving in this case to allow males to denigrate, deny, or weaken bonds with others, and to violate rules and roles occupied by others. Thus, men's usual style of drinking has been called, quote, individual egotistic. This literature indicates that drinking for women seems symbolic of attachments to others and appears to serve expressive communal purposes. In contrast, drinking for men seems symbolic of detachment from others and appears to serve instrumental agency purposes. Sex differences in drinking behavior, then, are partially a product of gendered stereotyped differences in the meaning or purpose of drinking. And that has been, like, that's an older study, but that has been borne out in many more recent studies. And I did find several articles looking into this whole thing in different countries, like in Nigeria or Estonia. And in general, they seem to find that men saw drinking and, quote, being able to hold your liquor as a manly thing. And women seem to find drinking in public not necessarily good for your reputation. There are also country-specific and race-specific stereotypes when it comes to drinking intolerance, and I'm sure we've all heard some of those. From the World Health Organization, quote, first, compared with women throughout the world, men are more likely to drink, consume more alcohol, and cause more problems by doing so. This gender gap is one of the few universal gender differences in human social behavior.
Right. I actually was looking at the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, and they actually break it down per ethnicity, including from the Latina culture to the African-American to Asian-Americans, and going down to the differences and even the health effects. You and I were talking about earlier, the Asian flush, as I have called it, and it talks about the 25 to 50% of Asians who suffer because of that specific type of gene that causes you to flush and not be able to process the alcohol, which apparently has different causes, like whether you drink too fast, drink too slow, drinking all these different things. But it is interesting to see the cultural practices, and each one is pretty similar, as it was saying, about what's normal and what's accepted and what's not accepted, what's religious, what's not religious, and it goes on different levels. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fascinating to read through all of that.
Yeah. There is a lot of data out there. I was kind of taken aback and surprised by how much.
Right.
Which is a wonderful thing. We can always use more. Especially, you know, that's more inclusive. But going back to that WHO report, well, I guess WHO. I always say WHO, but
right,
you know, WHO
right.
report goes into possible reasons why there is this universal difference in drinking behavior. And the first reason they listed is power. Drinking alcohol has historically been a signifier of male power relative to women's lack of power, a privilege often denied to women, particularly in public. I do remember reading about in the 50s, American housewives who would be in the kitchen, they would sneak shots of whatever while they were cooking or preparing.
Right.
Because it wasn't ladylike to drink
right
in public or in your own household in front of men. When it comes to health and metabolism, women typically are believed to be more vulnerable to alcohol. They get drunker faster when consuming the same amount as a similarly sized man. Women develop alcohol-induced liver disease more quickly than men, and possibly the same is true for alcohol-induced brain damage. Another interesting thing I found is that alcohol interacts with your hormone levels, meaning that fluctuations in your hormones might lead to a higher or lower relative rate of intoxication. So the week before a woman starts her period, she'll get more intoxicated and stay that way for longer. Same thing with oral contraceptives.
Mm-hmm.
That same report found that men who believed that alcohol would lead to pleasurable outcomes drank more heavily, while women heavy drinkers often did it to reduce stress. A handful of studies have shown a strong relationship between drinking behavior in women and sexual victimization or violence. Men are twice as likely to develop alcoholism. Researchers think this might be because, given the same amount of alcohol, men experience more of a dopamine release as compared to women. According to numbers reported on by Time, 53% of beer drinkers are men, while 52% of wine drinkers are women. I believe this was from 2013, so it was fairly recent. When I was thinking about this, I was wondering if it goes back to the health thing that we kind of talked about in our men like meat, women like salad episode, because there was that study. And I'm not saying it's true. I don't remember. But there was that study that, like, a glass of
red wine.
Yeah. It's antioxidants in it. Or probably I have friends who don't like drinking beer because they get bloated. And
right.
They don't like how they look when they drink it. So I'm not sure. But this brings us to the relationship between men and beer in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because beer is the quintessential dude's drink, according to our media and general pop culture narrative. I do think that that is changing. Or it could be that I just run in a circle of beer drinkers. I'm not sure. But I do hear a lot of women don't like beer. It makes them bloated, or it's too bitter, or it's too carby. I hear a lot of that stuff. I don't necessarily see a lot of it. But the cool girl, she rears her head again. From the article I referenced earlier, it's a Thought Catalog article called 7 Reasons You Need to Date a Woman Who Likes Beer. Oh, never mind. This is a different article, but they're in the same vein. Quote, a true girl who is one of the guys? Well, she's not afraid to look like a fool. She laughs a lot, often at herself. She makes reckless decisions, but owns up to the consequences. She burps. She shouts. She tells you to f*** off when you deserve it. She likes sports. She likes video games and comic books. She's a flip cup beer pong champion. She's not afraid to have an imagination. She's not afraid to dream big and fail often. She doesn't care what you think of her.
Wait, was this written by a woman or a man?
Man.
Yeah, go f*** off. How about that? Seriously?
Samantha!
Yeah, and I'm not even drinking a damn beer. How about that? Yet. Really?
Yes.
That's like the whole, you're everything, you're beautiful, and you don't even know it. Bull. Come on.
I like she doesn't care what you think of her, because...
But yet, she's doing this for you, obviously.
Well, in the vein of this, then yeah. oh, my goodness. And another reason, according to this article, quote, I'll just leave this little tidbit right here for everyone. According to the dating website OkCupid, the single most accurate indication of whether or not a woman will have sex with a man on a first date is directly correlated to how they answer this question. Do you like the taste of beer? In fact, just under 70% of women who answer that question yes are ready to throw down in the bedroom.
Okay, how did they even get that statistic?
I don't know.
Where did they find this statistic?
They do a lot of data collection.
I get the, like, come on.
Well, I agree. And that's why I included that quote, because it blew my mind. and then this is the one I referenced earlier from Elite Daily. Vodka drinkers are girly girls. Whiskey drinkers prefer the company of men. I mean, that basically most drinks we like is one part citrus, liquor,
right.
And sweetener.
Right. Even right now, like beer even is a sour phenomenon happening. Not mm-hmm. happening. It has happened and it has been big in the last few years. That's very much fruity beers, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. There is Ron Swanson comes up again. This is so funny because he came up in our previous episode, but he has a quote, clear liquor is for rich women on diets. And I will say, like, Ron Swanson is the epitome of, he is, like, the manly
right.
man. So that, I think that that's why he keeps coming up
trope,
in these
yeah.
ones. Yeah. Shot of whiskey and a shot of vodka, just FYI, have the same calorie count.
Right.
I would assume this has more to do with the fact that vodka is usually a mixer for girly sweet drinks, but again, it...
Shoot, sometimes I like whiskey and Coke. That's a common
yeah.
drink. I don't understand.
I always remember that scene from The Departed when Leonardo DiCaprio's character orders the vodka cranberry and the bartender was like, what, are you on your period? Which is both a vodka and a cranberry stereotype coming together. Terminology we use, like strong versus weak drinks, implying that drinks with more alcohol are for the strong. And yes, I get the idea of it being stronger in the sense of there's more alcohol in it. But there's still that implication that by drinking it, you yourself are stronger. You can hold your alcohol. You can handle the burn.
Right. Holding your alcohol is a sign of strength, which is super weird, too.
It is. Because essentially, I mean, I feel like the sign of strength is to recognize your body is saying,
right.
you know what? No more.
I got to stop now.
I'm good. Let's drink some water now. One study out of the University of South Florida found that for some men, drinking beer is a public display of masculinity and heterosexuality. Of course, many people who drink beer also like the taste. But that, I found that very interesting finding. I've also heard tales from my male friends about being judged for not liking beer or otherwise preferring girly drinks.
Right.
Kind of like, oh, you're ordering a girly drink.
Mm-hmm. I do. I work at a brewery, and I do have oftentimes the boyfriend coming to tell me how their girlfriend does not like beer. And just like, can you recommend something? My girlfriend doesn't like beer. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But then I have just as many that are like, I don't like anything but sweet drinks, essentially, is what they tell me. And I kind of just look at them like, well, let me help you out. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's a pretty even number.
Yeah.
Or maybe just one's more willing to admit if they don't like it, as others will drink just to drink.
Yeah. Yeah. And I went on I read this whole deep dive looking into, and I didn't include a lot of it here, but why is it true that women just don't like beer as much? Like, is there some kind of genetic taste thing going on? Like, they taste bitter more. But the article, I couldn't really prove anything except that beer used to be a lot worse.
Right.
Like, it was just bad beer. And so some people grew up with kind of just not great tasting beer.
Right.
And that was where that article landed, that perhaps a lot of women just haven't tried anything beyond.
Right. I think this is a lot of people. They don't understand the craft of beer, essentially, anymore. And because you had the one light beer, these two things that are not the best, which I've always liked the taste of beer. But as you become more and more familiar with the culture behind it, you are discovering new ways of having beer, essentially.
Yeah.
And it makes a big difference, but a lot of people don't understand what it is or the phenomenon behind it.
Yeah. And to clarify, that article I was talking about was very much in the U.S. The U.S. didn't have much of a craft beer scene until semi-recently.
Right.
But also, like, if you don't like beer,
it's all good.
Yeah, you don't like beer.
Don't
I get
what
it.
You don't like.
Exactly. Exactly. In my family, it was kind of like, you're going to like beer.
Wait, what?
Well, I just remember thinking, and I had this about a lot of foods, actually, foods.
Right.
If I didn't like something, but I wanted to like it, I would keep
trying it
until I found something that I like. And a lot of my favorite foods now, I did not like until I just kept eating them, and now I like them. So
that's what they did for you with beer?
That's what I did to myself with beer.
Uh-oh. I thought you said your family.
Well, because everybody in my mom's side of the family, it's a very big social thing.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, it was like my mom trying to make me like mayo. I still don't like it, but she would try to sneak it in my food.
Oh.
I
feel like
I
you have
understand.
To want it. And even then, again, this is very specific to me. I'm never, if someone tells me they don't like something, I believe you
right.
and I accept it.
And move on.
Yes. In general, men drinking in public has long been more socially accepted, even at work until our more recent times, with things like the 3-martini lunch, which if you don't know about, there was all this, like, politics involved around it in the 70s. You should look it up. It's fascinating. Or Mad Men-esque mm-hmm. style drinking. When it comes to the darker drinks for men thing, darker drinks, rightfully or not, come with a perception of being harder or stronger, both. And this did used to be the case until the 19th century. Generally, darker liquors were bottled at a higher proof, and this had to do with aging, the aging process, adding flavor. Whereas right. for a lot of clear liquors, if you age it, it won't necessarily add flavor. But that whole darker liquor being stronger is not always the case these days. Some studies looking into increased violence when drinking as partly an observed behavior believed to be acceptable in this context among men. If you witness it, it seems like if you're drinking, I can behave in a certain way.
Oh.
Which is, that has a lot of consequences for so many social issues. Okay, so that's kind of the beer/masculine side of this, which brings us to the feminine side of it. But first, it brings us to a quick break for word from our sponsor.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. And we're back with the question, is it women like wine? Yes. And usually white wine, I find, is the stereotype, specifically white wine. Again, going back to the like lighter thing versus the right. darker thing. And I kept every article I was reading about this mentioned mommy juice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, all the things, because, you know, you see those cute little retro photos with some kind of snarky writing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking about the 1950s house moms or something. Yeah. And it's typically talking about martinis.
Yeah.
I remember I dressed up as, quote unquote, a 1950s housewife, and I had a martini glass as one of my props.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I feel like martinis were just huge, though.
I guess so, because it also, same thing with men in the James Bond.
Yeah. There was a diet that I find funny now. I'm sure it wasn't funny then, but there was a diet called, like, the steak diet, the man steak diet. It was a diet for men, and it was, you have to eat at least one steak a day and drink at least one martini a day.
Oh, I remember you talking about this in that episode. Okay, that was weird.
It's a real thing.
Right.
And I feel like it was just dudes being like, I want to eat my steak and drink my martini and not have anybody give me any guff about it.
Right, right. Yeah, but that's what, I guess in my head, it's like, I always see, get mommy a martini. That's how I've seen it. I definitely see the white wine, too, because Chardonnay has always been kind of the mama drink as well, it seemed.
Yeah, I feel like it's just become a kind of a meme almost. Like, right. Like, that you're mom and you can drink, too. Whoa. Right. We did an episode a while back on women drinking more wine in general to deal with the patriarchy. And because women are drinking more. And going back to that reason why women drink that we mentioned earlier, it is usually either social or to deal with stress.
Right.
And sometimes that can, I'm sure, overlap. Yeah, definitely.
That's the happy hour.
That's the happy hour, yeah. But looking at something like mommy juice, that name does suggest, see, we are more than just mom. We have other dimensions. And we often see or hear women saying stuff like this. Like, I've earned this. I needed this. It might be your friend's advice when you're going through something. Get some wine or get beer, right. Whatever it is. Newly sober writer Christy Coulter over at Vox wrote, quote, maybe all that wine is an Instagram filter for our own lives so we don't see how sallow and cracked they've become. It's quite the read. and women do have a different set of fears when it comes to drinking. I mean, one of the obvious ones being someone's going to put something in your drink.
Right.
Fear of sexual assault is frequently a factor, even subconsciously, for how much a woman drinks in public. Like, there have been surveys looking at, like, trying to get to the bottom of why women drink less in general than men. And that was a big reason.
Right.
A lot of women linked public drunkenness to spoiled sexual reputation are being judged more harshly. And I've seen this. If a dude is super intoxicated, it's like, Jim is wasted. It's so funny. But if a woman is super intoxicated, it's like, look how pathetic and sad she is. She's so sloppy. like poor thing. Mm-hmm. And last year when I was at Dragon Con, I dropped a beer bottle and it shattered. And I wasn't drunk or tipsy, but I had my Captain America shield and my Winter Soldier arm and all the superhero gear is not conducive to holding a drink, it turns out. I was trying to text somebody. Too much was happening. I have seen people with koozies in their Captain America shield.
I was going to say, don't you have, like, a cup holder in your Captain America shield?
I feel
shield?
Like I'd forget, and I'd, like, put it, I would lean, let it drop, and it would fall out. Anyway, I'm looking into it, but... People did the most dramatic of movie gasps, and they started whispering. I felt so horrible and embarrassed by it. And my brain still keeps me up at night about this.
Really?
It's one of those things, you know, when your brain is like, remember that time you did this really ridiculous thing? Yeah, and I'll probably see... I was with people I kind of... We see each other every year at Dragon Con, but we don't know each other super well.
Right.
So I'll probably see them again this year, and I bet you they're going to bring
just
it up.
Just from dropping a bottle?
Yeah.
Shoot, I would have been more concerned if I'd fell or something.
That's the thing is, like, I get it at Dragon Con because people are usually drunk and I usually get drunk.
Right.
But in this particular instance, I wasn't. I'm just clumsy. And no one believed me about it.
That's so weird.
Yeah. And if anyone saw that, the Winter Soldier dropped the bottle of beer outside of the Marriott, that was me. That was me. another thing women cited when it came to concerns around drinking in public or how much they would drink in public is the value of social currency online diminished when photos of unflattering drunken behavior are posted. And like a lot of them said, they like go out and untag. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, if they're in a picture where it doesn't look, they don't like how it looks. If they just think they look drunk.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, at this point in time with social media, you can lose a job. That teacher
totally
who had
true.
A drink in her hand, nothing implied she was drunk, nothing implied she was anywhere near kids, mm-hmm. but she lost her job as a teacher.
Yeah.
That was absurd.
Yeah, I sometimes struggle with, like I said, I don't, in my family, drinking wasn't, it was just kind of a thing.
Right.
So I didn't really grow up with this mentality that I know a lot of people have. So sometimes I forget. And like to me, you can just have one drink at lunch right. and that's fine. But I've been around people who are clearly uncomfortable when I do that.
Right. I mean, I'm definitely one of those that didn't grow up with it. So having alcohol in my picture is not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
As well as the fact that I do work for a state
sure.
government. And so I'm very, very cautious. I try to hide as many things as possible. Of course, to a certain extent, I'm like, this is just being an adult and being active and there's nothing truly wrong here. However, it does go through my mind. I'm like, how is this going to be perceived?
Yes, yes. And something else a lot of women cited when they were talking about concerns around drinking was, in general, pregnancy, that they might be pregnant and not know it. And that is something else researchers have looked into, the fact that women do have to give up alcohol if they become pregnant. Is this somehow, like a lot of women give it up and then don't return to it.
Right.
And then something else, a loss of custody of a child.
Well, now there's one more thing with the new laws that's coming about is possibly endangering children.
That's true.
Since now we have the new prenatal laws mm-hmm. When it comes to health and abuse of fetuses. So that's one more thing that's going to have to be something for women to think on.
So there is a lot of a different set of fears, mm-hmm. shall we say. And for me, I do feel like a lot of the drinking that women do is done within the bounds of femininity, whether that's the intention or not. Like, it's acceptable for women to drink light beer or skinny wine, which is a brand, because doing so, you're still recognizing beauty as your social currency. You can drink, but only if you stick to these rules, or you're purposefully going against them to be, again, one of the guys. But more and more, we are bucking that. And people know I love light beer. When you're outside or you're in it for a long haul, like if you're at an all-day type thing, I love it. And what I don't love is that people always make fun of me for it or imply I'm a basic bitch. And then, as the day goes on, what do they start drinking? The light beer that I brought to the party.
I like this is a very personal
it
thing
is.
For you.
It makes me so mad. So I don't want to judge anyone. Like, when I say drinking is done, the bounds of femininity, I like a lot of these things.
Right. I was going to say, I definitely will try to limit the caloric intake as well when it comes to drinking, because it does stack up so high.
Yeah.
And I am more likely to do the lighter things if I know I'm going for the long haul as well. But typically, I don't buy light beers. I think I've done the whole, you were talking about basic bitch, which, by the way, is not a great term and awful.
No.
Not a great term. It's not nice in general.
No, it's not.
But I've started buying the seltzer waters, hard seltzer water.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because of that whole, okay, I want to drink something and I want something fruity and light, but I don't want to, you know, end up all in.
Yeah.
In the first hour.
That is a big trend that's happening, a movement towards lower ABV drinks. And also something that I'm really happy to see, more non-alcoholic drinks, because
right.
I do have several friends who are sober, and every time I see non-alcoholic drink section on a menu that is more than just soda,
right.
Soda and water, it makes me very, very happy.
Right. And without the gluten-free stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a friend who's celiac, and she misses beer desperately, so gets so excited when she sees a gluten-free option.
Mm-hmm. And we did do an episode on non-alcoholic drinks on the other show, Savor, and I caught myself almost saying something like, not a real drink, which is total nonsense.
Right.
So it's something that I had to reframe in my own mind. But there are other positive things, too. There's a couple of clubs, like Women Who Whiskey, which is a whiskey club mm-hmm. with 20 chapters across the U.S. There are more women involved in things like brewing and distilling.
Right. Speaking of societies or clubs, Pink Boot Society is a focus on female breweries as well. It's kind of opened up very big around the country as well. So the country, maybe even more. Just around. They've been around. They're around. As well as different brewers have been popping up as being female-owned, which mm-hmm. is fantastic. And we're getting more and more women who, we've already talked about it. I know that the original brewers, female,
yeah.
And what that looked like, as well as the fact trying to come back into the fact that women do like beer. Surprise.
Yeah.
One of my friends started a festival, Dames and Drugs,
uh-huh.
in celebrating women in the brewing industry. And usually that brings about having different local breweries bring in their female employees to create a beer on their own if they're not already doing it,
yeah.
which is fantastic. I think it's slowly up and coming, as well as the fact that, yeah, I actually know about beers. I actually know about hops and grains and, you know, the aging process. Surprise! Mm-hmm. And I can tell you what you may or may not like. I am actually good at beers.
You are.
Who knew?
You are. There's what is now kind of a funny picture of us together.
We have several funny pictures.
We do. We had several run-ins before mm-hmm. we became, like, friends. I think we'd met each other in passing.
Well, I think this was before we met each other, though, with the initial.
Yeah. There's a picture of, I was at an event for the Atlanta Science Festival called The Science of Sour Beer.
Right.
And there's a picture of me getting a beer.
I was serving you a beer.
Yes.
I was, and then our friend Caroline, who,
yes.
you know, stuff I've never told you, unladylike, was like, mm-hmm. wait, you two, I know both of you.
Yes.
You're in this picture. What is going on?
Yes.
And I think we were trying to figure out what was happening and how
yeah.
we missed, well, of course we missed each other because we didn't know each other at that point in time.
No, we didn't.
But yeah, I do love that picture because I'm pretty sure, well, not only were they doing fantastic tours and talking about fermentation and
mm-hmm.
sour beers and different fruits and all of that, I was one of the ones who was also talking about these are the types of beers that we have and how we do this and what they do with this. So I was like, ha-ha, see, I know science about beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even before you knew me.
I also ran into Martin Freeman that day.
Oh.
I was wearing a Captain America shirt and he gave me the old point and nod.
He seems like a point and nod kind of guy.
He did. And I played it cool because I am cool. One other thing I did want to add, going back to the non-alcoholic drinks, because I just got kind of curious, why do we sometimes call them virgin? And it comes from during the 1920s in America, which was the height of temperance and prohibition. It meant pure and untouched.
Of course.
By sin.
Like a virgin.
Ooh. Oh.
Touched for the very first time. I
You're doing a lot of singing today.
Look, this is all I can contribute today.
Maybe Madonna got her inspiration from this. In March 2018, Scottish Parliament held an event looking into the sexualization of women in alcohol advertising. Two of the report authors said, quote, although men are about twice as likely as women to die from alcohol-related causes, media discussion often focuses on the perceived problem of women's drinking, with moralistic and stigmatizing attitudes featuring strongly in public discussions. We've been trying to explore why this happens and to suggest how we can counter cynical marketing by alcohol producers that exploit rather than emancipate women, as well as suggesting how support services can be more women-friendly. And the chief executive over at the Institute for Alcohol Studies, Catherine Brown, said, the sexualization of women in alcohol marketing may be working to undermine gender equality and ultimately desensitize public attitudes towards domestic abuse and sexual assault. We need to see an end to such practices and learn from other countries such as France, which restrict alcohol advertising to protect against adverse outcomes.
Right. So that's what happens with the acquaintance rape cases. Oftentimes, the first question is, were you drinking?
Yes.
Were you intoxicated? And this kind of whole idea that you're responsible if you start drinking. You're the reason that this happened to you, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. We have some more for you listeners. But first, we're going to pause for one more quick break for word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. And I know there is a lot of conversation right now that I find really fascinating around the idea of, and I think this could be said for a lot of industries because we're just in a time of change with so much change, but kind of this, what for so long has been, even though it was started by women perhaps, dominated by men, this male industry, that by drinking, you're dealing with the patriarchy, even though you're participating in the patriarchy. Like, it's the male industry telling you, yeah, you want to drink this, you want to be part of the group, you want to be part of men. Women, you can. It kind of reminds me of that whole cigarette thing, how right. What happened with that. And I read a lot of interesting, like, I'm still kind of processing it, but pieces about how women might be drinking because they're so frustrated with all of this stuff
right.
That's happening.
I mean, I'm sure we're going to have more and more statistics over what's happened in the last 2 years alone with our social climate, and I say our in the U.S. alone, and how things have been more and more restricted for the femme population, and wondering how high the alcoholism, problems are because of the stress level and all of that as you were speaking.
Yeah.
Because I know we've already talked about therapy and such going up.
Yeah.
Because of this time frame and just in general, the overall universal stress that's coming from just politics alone, just conversations, the social expectations alone.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff being written about it right now and advising you to not blunt away your anger with alcohol as women. But I find I'm glad this conversation is happening. There's also a lot of conversation, and we didn't really get into it today, about how the alcohol industry targets youth.
Right.
They're very sweet, kind of, it tastes like juice.
Right.
Drinks. So that's another problem that we need to look into.
I would love to talk about today's youth.
Yes. Well, we can do that. We can. But in the meantime, this is the end of this episode. We would love to hear any stereotypes you've encountered.
Right.
Any clubs maybe, or something that you find hopeful about this whole situation, you can email us at stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter @MomStuffPodcast and on Instagram @StuffMomNeverToldYou. Thanks as always to our super producer, Andrew Howard. And thanks to you for listening. Stuff Mom Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.